My next guest is Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim is from Colorado, and in just a few moments, after I interview him, I'm going to play a little bit of the video clip from the documentary, MAFA 21, to show the history of forced sterilization in America, where the elite said, we can't have imbeciles breeding. Well, we can't have the deplorables breeding. Sound familiar? Yeah. The elite don't want anyone that's not of their worldview procreating. We got to depopulate eugenics. It's not new, folks, what we're going through. They've just expanded it beyond people of color to anyone that doesn't embrace the worldview that they want. So we're going to get to that. And then part two in our series on UFOs and the Bible. What should we be thinking about UFOs, alien abductions? Are they really being abducted? Or is this simply demonic activity? Why are some of the leading UFO experts going from saying, oh, it's extraterrestrials, to, no, I'm sorry, we now believe it's interdimensional, demonology. They appear and they disappear. And is this increase in the sighting of UFOs setting up for a great global spiritual deception? Part one was super popular. I played a few weeks ago. Tonight, I'll play part two in just a little bit. Joining me now is Pastor Jim from Colorado. Pastor Jim, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Brandon, thank you so much. You know, it's not easy always to get your side of the story out. And thank you for creating this venue for us. It means the world to me.
Well, we're honored to have you. Thank you for your courage to stand up. We're running a little behind tonight. We had a lengthy program and needed to take a few more minutes on the program previous to this one. So we're running a little behind. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Pastor, let's start off with your website. What is your website?
Our website is cccbasalt.com, cccbasalt, BASALT.com.
Awesome. All right, let's talk. We talked briefly on the phone today. I came to know about you through Sharona, who we were on the Lindell Report with just a while ago. Tell us your story. I'm just going to give you the floor. Tell us your story, because I know you're a pastor of a church in Colorado, but you also have a Christian school, a classical Christian school.
Sure, and I don't know how much time we have, so let me just jump into where we were at with our school. When we opened up our school this year, we felt by our convictions and by our faith that we were to operate this year with family choice. And we really believe that it's not even the role of the church or of a school or of the state or anything like that to mandate how a child should be during the day, whether they should wear a mask 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and 180 days a year. So we really felt confident, you know, I could build a real scriptural base with you, but just even the sixth commandment that says, honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged upon the land that the Lord has given to you. And I think that that's a foundation of the understanding of the government that God has established upon the earth. He said to Adam that, or to the man, that when you get married, that you are to leave your father and mother and cling to your wife. In other words, that young man was to leave the authority system that he was used to and then establish an authority system within the family. And so we want to honor and we want to be able to respect that. And so we stood for that as a church. And also, getting back to the sixth commandment, we understand that the Lord is advising us. If we want to live long upon the land that the Lord has given to us, then we are supposed to be creating a society that understands the value of children honoring their father and their mother, which is completely contrary to what's going on in the public school systems today. As a matter of fact, we're hearing stories about that teachers are withholding information from parents concerning those parents' very own children. So we have decided that, first off, we are a Christian school, and we are going to honor the Lord in every way. We're going to take a biblical position, and we realize that we are opposite from the philosophy of what's going on in the world today, in America, and in our public schools. So we let the county know, even though they had just recently changed the mandate and said that for our county, they were all right with mass choice until the Friday before the schools opened, and they switched in a moment. And none of the private schools, you know what they did? The day before, they had a Zoom meeting for all the schools in Eagle County. And so then they had the Zoom meeting about the possibility of changing. They had comments, and that was it. The next day, they moved forward. But no, private Christian schools weren't involved in a discussion that I'm sure happened more than within 24 hours? Were families brought in? No, because you know why? Families are not important anymore in the educational system in the United States. So that even in the governor's race for Virginia, we heard that Terry McAuliffe say those very words, that parents shouldn't have the right for what's being taught in the public schools. And you're just backing up and you're just saying, what kind of a nation have we become? So they told us, they told all the schools, private and public, that we had to mask our children. And so we sent them a notice that we will not be that we will not be masking our children, that what we are going to do is just allow it to be family choice. We would honor throughout the day the wishes of the parents. If they wanted their child masked, then we are going to have that child, will support the parents, wear a mask all day long. If they don't want to be masked, that was our position. It's freedom of choice. It's liberty that we were going after, and also the rights of families. So we sent that email to them. And then I get an email back from them. And this is when it became alarming to me. The email that came back from our county health director asked us for several things. The first thing that they asked us for, they asked us to turn over our emails from our school to the families.
Oh, wow.
Concerning our mask policy.
Oh, wow.
And of course, I couldn't give that back to them. That's protected for us. It's constitutionally protected.
Right.
The second thing that was in this email, and in a series of emails, they told us that we as an organization would need to remain masked until 80% of our building was vaccinated. Now, just imagine that for a moment, because we have an infant care center all the way up into high school. So it's just gotten to the point now where you're beginning to think, this is not about masks. This is about a punitive requirement placed upon us to just say, you will have to wear your mask in perpetuity until 80% of your building. I love the fact that they said building. They didn't want to say children. And now with Dr. Fauci just a few days ago saying that the vaccine will be accepted for children and for infants in the spring of 2022. So we're not far away from that. Now let me tell you the third thing that was alarming. With all the communications that was coming from our public health director, that he would have his name on the bottom. And underneath his name, he would have he, him, his. He was identifying his pronouns.
Oh, my word.
Now, this is coming from the county health director sent to a private Christian school. And listen, he didn't just land on this planet. Certainly, he knew that the position of a Christian school, and particularly ours, is going to be biblical. And that he would have to understand that we believe that God created the male and female, and that's it.
That's right.
Listen, we love all men. I've had transgenders come and visit our church, and I treated them with the same dignity and respect because man is made in the image of God. And so I'm not talking about not be loving as a community, but at the same time, this idea of going to middle school students and sexualizing them, and then, you know, just filling their heads with nonsense and telling them that a boy can be a girl and telling a girl she can be a boy. And our position is absolutely going to be that we are going to raise our sons to be men and our daughters to be women. And that's going to be our position. But think about this. When I clicked on he, him, his underneath that man's name, what pops up? But like 6 or 8 pages of a pro-transgender agenda that is all part of it. Now, listen, I'm smart enough to be watching the national dialogue, and I'm listening that what they're beginning to say is transgenderism is becoming one of the leading healthcare issues of our day.
Yes.
So I'm thinking this. If they can come to my private Christian school and violate our values and require us to wear masks, and then the next step that they have is that we have to be vaccinated up to 80% by the requirement of who? by the county health department. And then after that, what's it going to be? It's going to be the public health issue of the transgender agenda being forced upon our school. So some people are saying to me, Pastor Jim, why about the mask? Just put the mask on. And I'm trying to tell, and sometimes
it
feels like people glaze over, but it's just like, it's not about masks. That's right. The punitive thing that they're requiring of us to get us to fulfill their purpose and agenda.
Absolutely. Oh, Pastor Jim, I don't know how you, if you heard any of the conversation before, and if you're familiar with the documentary we're going to play a few minutes of, MAFA 21 and forced sterilization in our country, a horrible sin of our nation, largely visited on Black Americans by the elite, who said, we don't, you know, after slavery was ended, what do we do now? Well, we don't want them to procreate. They're not part of the elite. They're imbeciles. So let's force sterilize them. This is the sinful past of our country that we need to repent from, and many have, of course, and many of us, our families had nothing to do with it. It was coming from the elite, but they did. The elite looked down on people, and they look down on people today, and they look down on people like you and your church, and they think that you're hateful and you're bigoted and you're narrow-minded and you're stuck. I remember a conversation I quoted in my book many times, Aldous Huxley having a conversation with Timothy O'Leary, and he says, you know, Timothy O'Leary, tune in, turn on, drop out, Aldous Huxley, you know, Brave New World. And these guys, you know, had a hatred for Christianity, and they're having a conversation about, yeah, we ran into those Christians who only believe in one God and one reality. And they're talking about drugs and using drugs to open up people's conscience and to believe in many realities. And so they're bemoaning Christians even then. And I just have to wonder if one reason they want your school to have 80% vaccination rates is they'd like to see a big chunk of you guys be gone and certainly sterilized. Do you think this is a eugenics program? Do you think this is a population control program, as I was discussing with attorney Matt Staver right before you came on?
You know, I think I've been aware for years of the fact that Margaret Sanger has been the most effective eugenicist in the history of the United States. She bragged about what she wanted to do. As was mentioned before, we knew that 80% of abortion clinics were planted in minority communities. Yes. And it's documented how she felt about minority communities.
Yes.
And I want to just express something to you that I said to the county and the county commissioners. You know, all this began for me when they locked our church down for 15 days and they said that we were non-essential. And then I'm watching in horror as they promote that people in good faith shut down their businesses and let other people come in and burn those businesses down. And at that point, in my heart, our nation, our government broke faith with me. And I've struggled to get back to the place where I feel as though I can watch the news or listen to some of our leaders in government and be able to trust them.
Amen.
And, you know, I mentioned to the county commissioners that, listen, to get to our church, you know what they have to do? Drive by the regional Planned Parenthood. And I mentioned to them that while they've shut our church down and while they want to shut our school down to save the lives of children, the state of Colorado in 2020 aborted 12,000 children. Now, let me tell you something else about the abortion in Colorado. It is a late-term abortion state, and that is the most brutal, barbaric violence against children. And I told them, I said, and it's been said before, but 100% of our children that have entered into our school have come out. They should stop at Planned Parenthood on the way and ask them, how many of your children that enter this building actually come back out the doors? Mm-hmm. When we're thinking about the fact that there is such a brutal thing going on, and listen, this is not just silence in our culture. This is not just silence in our health directors. This is a silence that's also in our churches. The other day, I Googled late-term abortion, and you know what you see? You see a lot of drawings of late-term abortion, and you're hard-pressed to find the actual picture of how brutal and barbaric and the result of a late-term abortion. And so the thing is this, is that they're pretending, because we had 9 kids get COVID in our school and experience the equivalence of a head cold for 3 days. And they're going after our school while they are allowing in our state late-term abortion and any abortion, which is absolutely brutal. And I told them this, is that, you know what, you're coming after a Christian school of 100 kids. Why? Because that way you can go to bed at night and you can preen your progressive feathers and you can feel as though we have done such a wonderful job. We shut down a school because they weren't wearing masks, yet at the same time they turn a blind eye to what's happening to the most innocent and vulnerable and defenseless among us all. And I told him, you know what, coming after our school and coming after me, it's like shooting a fish in a barrel. That's what it's like. I'm not lawyered up to the level they are. I don't have the financial resources. Taxpayers don't give me any kind of money to fight the county back. And when I look at this whole situation, I've begun to realize that they are positioned in a place of power. They've been weaponized by the legislation that's coming out of Denver. And Denver legislature passed a law that gave carte blanche to health directors. And so that in a time of crisis declared by them, they can enter your buildings. They said that they can take control of your buildings. They can quarantine who they want. And as a matter of fact, we had a couple of healthcare workers. I mean, yeah, two employees from the healthcare department, and they came to our property today, and they said we need to inspect the environment. And I said, wait a minute. The county has already told us that if we don't comply, we're shutting us down, and you all know we haven't complied. Tell me the truth. Why are you really here today? You are here to inspect a building that you're going to shut down? Let's be honest. It doesn't make any sense. I asked, is this about the mask? And they said, yes, we are going to see if you're masking. And I told them, I said, well, you know what? You're not allowed in our buildings. And they had said, well, we are actually allowed in your buildings. I said, you're not coming into our buildings. And if you're going to come into our buildings, you better bring the sheriff. And so I drew this hard line in the sand this morning. And then before the day was out, Eagle County has then moved forward to have an emergency meeting this Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. And they know we're 2 hours away. And so they call this emergency meeting to figure out how they're going to deal with those organizations that are not in compliance with them. It's our situation has been turned over to the county attorney. So since the very beginning of all their emails, they included that they were going to fine $5,000 and 18 months in jail. The newspaper published that just the other day.
Wait a minute.
Pastor Jim Tark is facing $5,000 fine and 18 months of jail.
For not doing what?
If we don't comply with their order.
For their order being mandates mask or getting 80% of your school vaccinated or both?
It's all of that. Plus, if we're going to open back up, they have told us that we have to get... every teacher and every child needs to go across the street to a park and get tested twice a week for COVID. Now, that's something that's not happening elsewhere. And they've got a breakout in their public schools in Eagle County, and we have breakouts in other schools. And here's the thing. We looked at who we were required to go to be tested. And you know what it is? It's a private company. It's a private company that we have to go to, and the parents have to sign that they're allowed to take the saliva from our infants all the way up to our high school, and the parents sign over that they can keep that genetic material. And this is what it says on their website, that they are building a database.
Of course they are.
Now tell me how that is not impossible for me to go to our families and let them know that obviously that can happen. But imagine this last week. They said anyone that comes to our property, if we do not follow the mask mandate and getting tested twice a week by this private company, that every family, every teacher, our board of directors, any leader, any volunteer that is on the property, if we are open without following their order, is subject to a $5,000 fine and 18 months of jail. So I had to go to our families and say, listen, we're opening and we're not going to comply. I had to meet with our families this week and tell young moms of infants. I had to tell them, if you come, they have left it open, you could be fined $5,000 and 18 months in jail. Well, you know what happened? We've lost a third of our school. We've lost them, we've lost their income, we've lost their resources. But I will tell you this, every one of our teachers stayed with us, knowing that that was a floating thread out there. Whether they can actually do it or would have the nerve to do it, I don't know. And the only employee that we lost was a mother, and that was working in our child care. She wasn't a teacher. And I respect her decision. This is about liberty and freedom. But when all is said and done, can you imagine those meetings? It was one of the more challenging things I've ever had to walk through.
I bet it was. Pastor, can you tell us, can you come back Thursday? When the meeting's with you, this emergency meeting's Thursday morning, right?
It is at 8:30 at the Eagle County building. So if anybody's listening and they're within driving range, we just welcome you to come out and support.
Can you come back on our broadcast Thursday night and give us an update?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, Pastor Jim, I'm writing it down now, Thursday night. Logan, help me remember this. We're going to ask our audience to pray for you. I want to get more out of you Thursday night. I want to go to the scripture with you a little bit Thursday night. I want to talk about Romans 13 with you Thursday night.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about other pastors responding Thursday night, you know, that maybe are not responding, that you maybe need to teach to be a true pastor and shepherd the way you are. So I want to delve deeper with you Thursday night. You're very articulate. I'm so thankful for pastors like you, you know, that you're a real masculine guy that loves the country, loves God, is honoring God and Constitution at the same time, because they do go together in our Judeo-Christian worldview. I think it's appalling to think that we live in a day and time where a pastor and the parents are being threatened with $5,000 fine or jail time if they don't comply to these mandates, which we've already gone through for months now as to what they're all about and whatnot. It, you know, I don't know if you have an attorney, but I would gladly put you in touch with my last guest, Matt Staver, who's argued many cases before the Supreme Court. So if you need help, I'm happy to put you personally in touch with Matt Staver if you need an attorney.
Thank you. You know, we're looking at every resource we possibly can, and we would appreciate anybody that can get on board with us. Thank you. I can't tell you how thankful I am, because your side of the story, sometimes in the world that we have today and the media that we have, cannot be told. Thank you very much.
Well, what we're going to do, Pastor, we have a huge audience, and we know we have a big audience by many means to monitor that. And we're going to not only be getting people to pray for your church and God's intervention into this situation, but for peace for your people, peace for those moms and dads, courage for those moms and dads, courage and support from you. We're going to even pray that those who say, well, I'm not a Christian and I'm not maybe really into everything they're into, I'm going to pray that the people of Colorado say, but you know what? I may not be into what they're into, believe what they believe, but I believe they have the right to have their church and parental authority and freedom of religion. And I'm going to pray that lots of people that you maybe would never expect would come to your defense. And then we're going to pray that God would work on the hearts of those people that are going to go into that emergency meeting on Thursday. And so we're going to then put this out tomorrow as a standalone, and we'll start popping this interview all over social media. So not only are we reaching people now, right now, live at 8:11 p.m. Central Time, November 30th, but tomorrow as a standalone, this will go a lot of places. Then I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Leo Holman, and Leo is going to write an article on this. He's going to take your quotes, he's going to take your story, and then we're going to send that article embedded with this interview all over Kingdom Come to some of the biggest conservative news outlets I know as well, and we're going to try to rally Americans, because this is not about just you and your church, as you know. It's about all of us, and we better start helping each other and get through this media and propaganda that tries to marginalize, characterize, marginalize us and intimidate us, and then legalize the intimidation and terrorizing of us. So we're going to stay in touch with this one. And my guess is we're going to be getting you back on our show on other topics, because I know that you and I, from talking today, you can speak to a lot of issues as a pastor that understands not only the Bible, but the Constitution, a constitutional republic through your classical Christian school. So I think we just made a friend, and you'll be a regular here to comment on many issues. But first, let's help you guys get through this. And your website's been on the screen, and I want people to visit his church website. I want you guys to pray for him, and then send this all over Kingdom Come when it's a standalone at frankspeech.com tomorrow. So, Pastor, we'll plan on Thursday night. You're coming back, all right?
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Yes, thank you.
All right, folks, Pastor Jim checking in from Colorado. Wow, Colorado's really going through it, isn't it? Well, we're all going through it, but there seems like there's a lot happening in that state.